comes loose to Curry. Curry gets it ahead to Gretzky. Gretzky going in. Suter trying to get back. Gretzky with a shot. He scores!
They're going to try here. Rushing to center and down the wing. It is Marshall! Scores! Marshall! Scores!
Moving on. Rendemore at the far side. That's broken. Here's a break. It is Pisani. Scores! A shorthanded goal for Pisani.
Here comes Connor McDavid, shifting right by Riley, right in. What a goal! My goodness, what a goal by Connor McDavid!
Hey, welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Locked On Oilers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Hernan the Man Salas, of course, from TSN 1260 and the Two Guys in a Goalie podcast. Today, I'll be joined by Todd Maleski from the Wisconsin State Journal. We'll get a better read on the Oilers' 14th overall pick, Dylan Holloway. Remember, you can connect with me at Hernan the Man, at Locked On Oilers on Twitter, and give us a follow at Locked On Pods. And more importantly, remember to download and subscribe on your favorite app for all the latest episodes. And while you're there, leave a great review. Just before we get to Todd, some news today as we have a trade as the Penguins have acquired forward Jonathan Gruden and a 2020 second round draft pick that's 52nd overall from the Ottawa Senators in exchange for Matt Murray. So Matt Murray has a new home. Kudos to the Ottawa Senators. They had a great draft in my opinion. Now they get their goalie. I mean, he's still a young man. They got a good goalie there for the next, what, 6 to 8 years. So kudos to the Ottawa Senators in getting Matt Murray. I know he was talked about a lot here in Edmonton. I just looking at that return now, but the Oilers don't have a second, and I really don't know much about Mr. Gruden. Moving on, I guess staying with the Oilers, of course. It was reported yesterday by many media here in Edmonton that Ken Holland said it's unlikely he will qualify Matt Benning and Andreas Athanasiou, and that's got to sting a bit. I mean, he can still go after them once they hit the open market for cheaper, but 2 second rounders for Athanasiou, I know Oilers fans will not be impressed by that. Again, the Oilers probably not going to do much this offseason, as money is an issue and assets are an issue as well for the Edmonton Oilers. And then my buddy Dustin Nielsen last night saying that, you know, Elliot Friedman keeps banging this drum, linking the Oilers to Jacob Markstrom. I mean, I just don't know how were you getting that kind of money, to be completely honest with you. But I mean, never say never, but if they do, then you're probably not adding a lot more to your team to fill the void you need, like a third line center. How about another top six winger? How about another D-man? I'm not saying a top end because that's unrealistic, but yeah, it's interesting here, and we'll see what kind of money he's demanding. And I'll be honest, I'll be absolutely shocked if the Oilers and Markstrom end up getting something done, but never say never. It gives you hope, and that's what makes this week fun. I mean, we got 2 more days here until free agency opens up. We got the second rounds kicking off already here as I'm recording this on Wednesday morning. But back to the draft, of course, the Oilers drafted Dylan Holloway from the University of Wisconsin with the 14th overall pick. Holloway played 3 seasons in the AHL with the Okotoks Oilers before heading to Wisconsin, where last season he put up 17 points in 35 games. The 19-year-old can play left wing and center, but on the Oilers with their top three, it's more likely he'll be playing wing. Holloway is listed as 6'1 and 203 pounds. Good hands, skates well, physical and tenacious are what you're hearing about Mr. Dylan Holloway. Definitely a big body with some skills, so a nice pickup for the Oilers. I mean, he was around that range. You heard a lot of guests on the radio stations here locally or on podcast saying that Dylan Holloway was someone that was around that range, so can't be too upset by the Oilers. He looks like he's very excited to be an Edmonton Oiler. Of course, he's from Calgary and said his family has changed their colors. Of course, Alexis Lafreniere went to the Rangers with the number one pick. Highly touted goaltender Yaroslav Askarov went to Nashville with the 11th pick. Not a sleeper, but the Jets getting Cole Perfetti at 10 for many is a steal. How about Oil Kings forward Jake Neighbors as he gets drafted by the St. Louis Blues at number 26. That was so cool to see a guy you watch here on the regular, seeing the emotion of his family and all that. So congratulations to Jake Neighbors. Awesome, awesome to see that. And how about Ozzie Wiseblatt going to the Sharks with the last pick of the first round, but in what was the best moment of the night as Doug Wilson Jr. announced the pick with sign language privilege because Ozzy's mom is deaf. Just an amazing moment seeing the video of the family of Ozzy, how pumped they were. Just awesome. Kudos to the San Jose Sharks for doing that. And Ozzy Weisblatt, another guy I've seen a lot play here in the WHL too. So that was absolutely awesome to finish off the night. Here's the full first round of the 2020 NHL draft nationalities breakdown. Canada with 19, Russia with 4, Germany with 2, Sweden with 2, USA with 2, Austria with 1, and Finland with 1. So a lot of Canadians going in that first round. And reports last night as well linking the Caps and Henrik Lundqvist, but nothing made official yet. But that'd be a good spot for him. I mean, he won't be counted as his number one. He'll back up the young Russian goaltender there. And that's a good backup if you're bringing in Henrik Lundqvist. But yeah, Ottawa Senators making news this morning once again as they have acquired goaltender Matt Murray for Jonathan Gruden in a 2020 second round pick. So the Penguins move on from Matt Murray. Tristan Jarry, another former Old King, is now their guy between the pipes. All right, let's learn more about Mr. Dylan Holloway as I'm joined by Todd Molesky from the Wisconsin State Journal. You can connect with him on Twitter at Todd Molesky. Todd, thank you for taking the time to join me on this Wednesday morning. We got you on to talk Mr. Dylan Holloway, of course, who went 14th overall to the Edmonton Oilers in the first round. Todd, what can you tell Oiler fans about Dylan Holloway?
Well, he plays whatever game you need him to play, I think is the biggest thing that we saw out of here last year at Wisconsin. He can be a power forward. He can be a guy that, you know, plays a center role, plays a left wing role. He can maybe be a grinder kind of player if you need him to be. So he has a lot of different variety in his game that I think is one of the things that's attractive to teams, that, you know, you don't necessarily have to fit him in a certain spot in your lineup. He can fit in a few different possibilities depending on what you have around him. So that's something that has been talked up here by Tony Granato, his coach at Wisconsin, a lot. And the fact that he's got a real high character. He's a guy that is dependable on and off the ice. And I think that's a strong point for him too in moving to higher levels of hockey.
You know, we keep hearing skating, hockey sense, you mentioned a compete level are you know, attributes that he has already in his game. If there's a few things he needs to work on, what would that be, Todd?
Well, I think he needs to work on a little bit more strength. I think that's a big thing. He came in, you know, pretty well in that capacity for a 17-year-old. Coming to college hockey, where a lot of the players are, you know, 20, 21, 22, even higher in age than that. He could use a little bit more there, but he also needs to, I think, maybe even out his game in terms of, you know, when things aren't going well, stay the course. There were some times last season at Wisconsin where we saw him just take dips for a couple of weeks where it wasn't going his way. And maybe you expect that out of a kid that's 17, 18 years old. But those are the kind of things that as you get into higher levels, you get into the pros, you can't let that go on too long. Because then you talk about a 2-week span in the NHL. You're talking about, what, 6-8 games sometimes of missing out on the way you need to play. So I think that's one of the things that I'm interested to see how he does here in his second year at Wisconsin, where those dips aren't as deep as maybe they were in some of the games last season.
Joined by Todd Molesky from the Wisconsin State Journal, talking Dylan Holloway here on the Locked On Oilers podcast. And I saw your Twitter feed and where you chatted with Tony Granato and where he wants to play him more at center as opposed to last year where I think he played mostly wing. But where do you see him as a better fit, center or left wing, Todd?
Well, I think I see him just from having seen him more at wing last season, I think that's something I could see him in more long-term. He seems to take that a little bit better, which is unusual because he came up as a center. He said he played center basically his entire life until last season. But when I saw him early in the season in a wing role, he was out there willing to throw the body around, willing to do, you know, those kind of things, getting deep in zones and making plays along the wall. I saw that maybe, I don't know if it was a more natural thing. It isn't from the way he describes it, but he did it pretty well. So I can see that being something going forward where, you know, if he gets in the NHL at that position, I think he could do pretty well at it. Now, given he's got a good center background, so he can always fall back on that. He knows what that position entails and what, you know, what he needs to bring there. Maybe he'll need to adjust a little bit more as you get into the pros of what that means to be a pro center as opposed to a junior center, obviously. But I feel like, and I mentioned before, his versatility is so good that he can adjust to whatever the team is going to need from him, which is I know you looked at between last year and this year coming up at Wisconsin, that's going to be really valuable here.
Yeah, and it's funny because in his presser yesterday, he said he might have to play wing because the big three here in Edmonton of McDavid, Draisaitl, Nuge, he said he'd probably be hard to take one of those spots. Yeah. Let's look back at his first season with Wisconsin. I mean, he made the jump from the AJHL. It's a big jump where he put up 17 points in 35 games. Looks like he was better in the second half of the season. What can you tell us about his first year up there in Wisconsin?
Yeah, it was definitely where you could see towards the end of the season he was starting to get confidence with the puck, carrying the puck, being able to, you think he can take it to the net and be successful with it and be strong around the net. And it didn't hurt that towards the end of the season, he had Cole Caulfield as on the other side of his line. You know, that
helps,
right? That changes the landscape for anyone, but he also played a little bit with Alex Turcotte as center, during the season. So there was talent to go around on that Badgers team last season. Looks a little bit different this year where, especially if they're talking about him being a center, that's going to change it up a little bit. But when I went back and looked at the numbers from last season, you know, the statistics we get from college hockey aren't as detailed as you get in the NHL and the AHL and the higher levels, but his shot attempts per game went up by one per game in his last 10 games of the season. So I think there was more of a willingness to take some chances and be a little bit more aggressive in the offensive zone that we saw later in the season. Early in the year, I mean, at some levels, you kind of have to give him a pass. He just turned 17 as the season started, or yeah, just turned 18, I'm sorry, as the season started. And so it was, you know, a big jump from the Alberta League to college, and the Big Ten, you know, one of the best leagues in college where there are, you know, such high levels of talent on all the teams. It took some while for him to get his footing. Now, not to say that he didn't have some pretty good moments during the season, because he did, but he also was that kind of up and down that maybe you expect from a really young player. Just getting his footing.
More Dylan Holloway discussion with Todd Molesky from the Wisconsin State Journal in moments here on the Locked On Oilers podcast. From the best-selling authors of The Daily Stoic comes the ultimate stoicism guide to success, resilience, and virtue, to accept what you cannot control and adapt to what you can. Sports teams across the country are applying this popular philosophy by using stoicism's key idea. You can control how you respond and play. You don't control what the refs and fans do or how the ball bounces. It's about what you did to adapt. Lives of the Stoics, The Art of Living from Zeno to Marcus Aurelius, is available now wherever books are sold. Talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy. Usually we just brush it off or blame ourselves, saying things like, I lost my mojo, or we avoid it altogether with excuses like, I had a long day at work, or sorry honey, I'm just not feeling it. But with Roman, it is easy to talk about with a real healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication. It's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. Go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNHL today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/LockedOnNHL. Joined by Todd Molesky from the Wisconsin State Journal here as we're talking Dylan Holloway. Of course, he was selected 14th overall by the Edmonton Oilers in Tuesday's draft. What role do you see him playing this year? You mentioned that he was playing with Caulfield and I think Turcotte as well down there. So, you know, he had some guys to lean on there. But what kind of role do you see him playing this year for Wisconsin?
Well, from what I've heard from Tony Granato, the plans are to not immediately have him with Caulfield. He'll be playing center, but Caulfield won't be on his right side, at least right away. I mean, I think it's natural that at some point in the season we're going to see some shuffling around and guys are going to move around, and maybe that'll come together as a possibility, because, you know, there's if you have them together, that they could make something good. But he'll be a first or second line center, probably second the way you're looking at it right now, if you're including Caulfield as the first line, probably. So he'll get a lot of minutes. He'll get power play time. That was something that last season he got a lot of power play time, but it was mostly with the second unit that didn't have a lot of, you know, as many minutes and really wasn't as successful as the first unit that had, you know, Caulfield and Turcotte and Keandre Miller and sometimes Wyatt Kalinuk. It was really top-loaded, that power play, and I think it's going to be a little bit more balanced this year, so that could make it so maybe the first unit isn't out for 1:30 instead of splitting it a minute each. So he'll get a lot of that time. You know, there's going to be a lot of opportunity for him this year, I think. He's going to be one of those guys that look to make a jump from his first year to his second year, and I think he's capable of doing that. He's got the right mentality to do it. He's willing to do a lot of things. So that, I think, one of the strong things in his background.
You mentioned he played on the second power play unit. How's he looked on the power play? Like, where is he on the ice when it comes to the power play? Does he kill penalties, Todd?
He, I think, very rarely killed penalties last year, if I'm remembering it right. The power play, if I'm remembering, he was playing one of the wings, and you know, setting up for a shot. He didn't do a lot in front of the net, if I'm remembering it right. But I think that's a role he could do too, because he's willing to be physical. That's something about his game. He says he plays better when he's physical. And now that's something that maybe some coaches will say, you know, with your speed, you don't need to be that physical. You can get around guys. You can be shifty. You can do things to avoid the contact and still get shots off. But he likes that. He likes that the feeling of being in the game by getting some hits in and being involved right in front of the net sometimes. So there's a little bit of give and take there and some balance, I think, of how he can play. He could be a good net front guy, but he also has the shot and the ability to be elusive on the outside and take some shots and get pucks around from there.
Just a couple more for you here, as I'm joined by Tom Molesky from the Wisconsin State Journal. You know, here on our radio station, we had extensive coverage, obviously, of Dylan Holloway, and we had a few prospects, writers, and all that. A couple of them said if he slows down his game, he'll be successful in the NHL. What does that mean to you?
Well, I think to some extent, he tries to take on a little bit too much sometimes.
Oh, okay.
And maybe that's what they're getting at. I you know, it's hard to say for sure, yeah. But he does, from time to time, go all in. When maybe he's better served in, you know, just waiting for chances to come to him. So I think that's maybe a fair you know, way of portraying his what we saw this last season, is that some of those ups and downs are just he goes for things a lot. He led the Badgers in penalties last season, just from that aggressive nature. And you know, he's not when you're in the box, you're obviously not able to help out. And he was, you know, he got kicked out of one game for a contact at the head penalty. You know, some things like that, you know, sometimes just, you know, it's, you're young, you're excited to be out there, and your heart rate just keeps going and going,
yeah.
and sometimes that can backfire on you, and that's maybe not the best way to play.
No, definitely. He's a third. Yeah, this is the third straight season, Todd, that a Wisconsin player has been selected in the first round. That's never happened before. He joins Keandre Miller, Alex Turcotte, Cole Caulfield. So definitely kudos to the Wisconsin program there, with some nice players being taken in the first round. Just last one here for you. An update on when the season's going to get going?
Yeah, the Big Ten said this week that they're planning on November 13th being the start date for the season. They're going to play a full league season, which is 24 games for each team. So you're playing four games against all six other teams in the league, plus an additional four games at home this season against Arizona State, which is an independent team that's looking for a conference affiliation. And this doesn't mean, you know, they're part of the Big Ten, but they're part of the scheduling arrangement this season, because Arizona State needs games as well, and they're willing to play 28 their entire schedule on the road.
Yeah.
So a lot of long road trips coming up for Arizona State. But so we're expecting that to start mid-November and carry through. The league tournament is in middle of March, and then go into an NCAA tournament after that, which we're not sure whether it's going to be the full 16 teams. The NCAA has been scaling back on some of the championships to, I think, decrease some of the travel and things like that, not really knowing where we're going to be at in March and April with the coronavirus. But they're really excited here that there's a date on paper and that they can start planning toward a season starting in about 5 weeks.
That's great news. And Todd, you are on the Edmonton radar now, because I'm sure we'll, I work for the radio station here as well, and plus a couple of podcasts. So I'm sure we'll be keeping tabs on Denton Holloway. And don't be surprised if we reach out to you a couple times during the season.
Sounds great. I know a lot of the last year, a lot of the Montreal people were really excited about the Cole Caulfield.
Oh, yeah.
And they still are. And now it's going to be a little bit of Edmonton too. So yeah, a lot of eyes on the Badgers game.
No, for sure. Todd, thank you so much for taking the time to join me on this Wednesday. Great breakdown on the newest member of the Edmonton Oilers, Dylan Holloway. All the best going forward, and I look forward to talking to you soon.
Thank you. Same to you.
Between never-ending laundry cycles and incoming emails, you got plenty on your to-do list. Give yourself one less thing to worry about and let DoorDash take care of your next meal. DoorDash is the app that brings you food you're craving right now, right to your door. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the code LOCKEDON. NHL. Once again, a big shout out to Todd Molesky from the Wisconsin State Journal. Great breakdown on the Oilers' newest prospect, Dylan Holloway, of course, from the University of Wisconsin, as he was drafted 14th overall by your Edmonton Oilers. Wanted to get to a few clips of Dylan Holloway as he joined the Edmonton media, or the NHL media, I guess, yesterday. Let's kick it off with this one, as he was asked what was going through his mind as the picks got into the double digits.
Yeah, well, obviously I was super pumped to get selected, but sitting there, I was just patiently waiting for my name. I knew like an NHL draft, anything could happen. So yeah, but as soon as I got picked, I was super excited. My phone actually started blowing up before the pick. So that's why my reaction was a little bit late on camera, was because I didn't really know until like after. But yeah, I was super, super excited for it.
Just a few more clips here from Dylan Holloway as he was asked thoughts on coming to the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah, I'm so excited. Like, obviously, Edmonton Oilers got a ton of history and are a great organization. So that, number one, is why I'm super excited. But then also it's close to home. So I got a lot of family and friends there. Like from Calgary, so pretty close to Edmonton. And yeah, I'm just super excited and couldn't be more thrilled.
Gotta love to hear that from Dylan Holloway. Of course, Dylan Holloway did play in the AJHL, and he was asked the difference from going from the AJ to Wisconsin.
Yeah, well, my first year was a lot of fun. I definitely coming from the AJ to play in NCAA hockey, it's a big difference in pace, and guys are much bigger and stronger and faster. So kind of getting used to that, I think, was the reason why I wasn't putting up as many points as I was in junior. But towards the end of the year, I started to get more confident, started throwing my body around a little bit better. And I know I started putting up on the score sheet a little bit more too. So I'm really happy I chose Wisconsin. It's been a great organization for me. And I'm just super excited for next year.
Just a few more here, I promise. I like this one. It was a short answer, but we had to find out, as you saw, like he got a text right before his name was announced by the Edmonton Oilers, which was quite funny. But he was asked who was blowing up his phone as the pick was being announced.
Yeah, just kind of everybody. Got a bunch of friends and family back home that are texting me. And then I had a bunch of buddies here who were actually at the draft party who were, we take pictures with and stuff. So kind of just everybody, but a lot of friends from back home.
Oh man, family and friends. It was great though. You saw the reaction of his brother. Everybody was pretty happy, and some people just couldn't wait to let him know that he was drafted by the Edmonton Oilers. And again, we talked to Todd about this, and we asked him what are his strengths and what he needs to improve his game. This is what he had to say.
Yeah, I think definitely my strengths would be my skating. I think I try and play it at a really fast pace, and then my physicality. That's one thing that I've always tried to do growing up, is just play physical. So those are two things that I think are my strengths. And then definitely, like, to get to the NHL, like, guys are so fast. Like you said, like Connor McDavid, he's like one of the is the fastest guy in the league. So like to be able to keep up with that, I'm going to have to train really hard and still work on my speed. And then another thing too is decision making. I know it's such a high pace, and guys are so quick to close and super good on pucks too. So decision making is going to be something I got to work on and be able to make decisions quicker. And sometimes even before I have the puck, I gotta know what I'm gonna be able to do with it.
Last one here, I promise, as Dylan Holloway was asked if he's watched a lot of the Oilers, especially 97 and 29.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy to think about. I know past couple of years I've been watching them really closely. Edmonton's been one of my favorite teams to watch just because of them. So the fact that I could be teammates with them one day is pretty special. And I'm super excited.
All right, that was just a few audio clips from Dylan Holloway, of course, the newest member of the Edmonton Oilers from the University of Wisconsin. We'll see. We'll keep tabs on him throughout this season. As you heard my guest say there, looks like they will be starting in November, so it'll be fun to keep an eye on him. Of course, he's on the same team as Cole Caulfield, the Montreal prospect there, who's they're very, very high on. Two more shows coming up this week. We'll see if the Oilers get in on the action. As you heard earlier, Matt Murray heads to the Ottawa Senators for a prospect and a second round pick. The Oilers probably going the free agent route when it comes to goaltending. So hopefully we get some news. So I won't plan anything for tomorrow or Friday. We'll take this kind of like hour by hour, day by day, to see if the Edmonton Oilers have some breaking news. But we will have some fun shows to close out the week. Remember, you can connect with me on Twitter at HernanTheMan and at Locked On Oilers. And don't forget to subscribe and download on your favorite apps for all the latest episodes. Producer Mauricio is telling me it's time to wrap up the Wednesday edition of the Locked On Oilers podcast. Second round is ongoing as I finish off this podcast of the NHL draft. The Oilers are, well, they might be picking in third round. They have up until their pick, just before they decide if they're going to take it or give it up to Calgary. If they keep it, then Calgary gets their pick next season. But once again, thank you for listening to the Locked On Oilers podcast. Keep those downloads coming. I truly appreciate all the support. I'm Hernan the Man talking Los Petroleros. Let's do it again on Thursday. Enjoy the rest of your day.